Well, are you ready to be fed the Word of God here tonight? Yeah, you know, we're not just here to, you know, spectate or just to listen. You know, how many of you know the Scripture says that we get fed from our pastor, right? We get fed the Word of God. You know, a feeding means that it puts something in you that gives you strength, that gives you some life and vitality. Amen. And we just believe for that every single time we get together around the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Join me with your Bibles. Turn over to Psalm 107. And today I'm going to call this message, Let the Redeemed of the Lord Tell Their Story. I know we tricked some of you, right? You were ready to quote the verse as it is, maybe in the King James Bible or in most Bibles. But we'll just kind of end the suspense right now. If you're wondering where that title comes from, that's actually the verse, Psalm 107, verse 2, that we quote all the time. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The NIV version says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Amen. And so that's where we get the title for tonight's sermon. So go over there to Psalm 107. And here in just a moment, we're going to read a nice little lengthy passage out of Psalm 107. But we're going to just get to some things first. I'll tell you what, if there is one thing that history tells us about God's people, is that, you know, over the course of thousands of years of Bible history, God's people have constantly and consistently proven that we easily forget all that God has done for us, right? And I tell you what, let's not let that happen in our lives. And here's the point of where we're going. Again, I'm just going to end the suspense. You know, the key to what God is going to do in your future is, you know, what we're saying and how we're voicing redemption right now. I'll tell you what, the key to what God is doing in your future is be grateful for all that He has done to get you to this point, to get you to this spot right now, because I can guarantee you the Lord has done great things in our lives, whether we see it or not. But I just believe I'm in a room filled with believers that you know that God has done great and mighty things in your life. Amen. Is there anyone here that you would say that God has done great things in your life and you would know it? Amen. Hallelujah. And so we could probably all take time, you know, to testify of all that the Lord has done in our life. And it's very important that we have a testimony, that we understand that the future of what God's going to do, really, you know, all that He's done in our life, we must voice those things. We must say those things that the Lord has done for us so it can help take us to where He wants us to go. Amen. Reminding yourself of what God has done for you is like a rising tide that will lift you off a very tough place or off a burden. Amen. And so many times, if you feel spiritually stuck, if you feel like you're not going anywhere with God, if you feel like, you know, things have slowed down spiritually, or if you're just drifting, or if you're just coasting, I'll tell you what, voicing your redemption, you know, and what we're going to talk about here tonight will help build momentum. It'll help to lift you spiritually. It'll help build your faith. It'll help remind you of all that God has done. And I tell you what, if God has, you know, if He's done some things for you in the past, He's going to do it again. The tide is still rising. God is not done. There are still testimonies to be made. And if you're in the midst of a very tough place in your life or a hardship or whatever, I'm here to tell you this is not something you got to dread. There's a good opportunity for God to show Himself in your life. Amen. Yes. And we don't need to start getting down and out and worried and full of fear and all this stuff. Amen. God is still moving in your life. Yes. You know, praise the Lord. And so we're going to take a look at Psalm 107. And we're going to read here, down through verse 15 or 16. So I'm just going to read this passage. And then we're going to go back up there to verse 2, a familiar verse to many of us. And then we're going to get what we need out of it. And if you have your Bibles, follow right along in your Bible, or maybe your Bible is on your device. Of course, modern times, a lot of people have them on a phone or a tablet or something like that. We also will have the scriptures on the screen. Corbin, get ready to run with me here, because here we go. We're just going to read right through this passage. I might make a few comments as we go. But let's dig in here. Verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." How many of you believe that? Well, it says we should be giving thanks. We should be doing something about it. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in." Who is this referring to, everybody? This is talking about Israel. Remember in the days of Moses, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years? Okay, it's talking about them specifically, but the lesson is for us. So the lesson is for us. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, or you can say it this way, they never got to the destination they were supposed to, or they were having trouble finding where they were supposed to go, right? And we will talk about that. In verse 5, it says, "They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation," or a place to live in. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought their heart down with labor," or meaning he humbled them. "They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and out of the shadow of death, and he broke their bands," or their chains, "asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass that imprison people." That's what it's talking about boundaries, hindrances, things that hold us back. "He has broken down the gates of brass in your life, and he has cut the bars of iron asunder." And the scripture keeps saying, oh, if people would just rejoice and be thankful for all the good, wonderful work that God has done for people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now go up to verse 2. And we're going to jump into this here in a second. This entire passage, and we could have read the whole psalm because it keeps going in this same kind of manner. But this passage that we've read, the first 16 verses of Psalm 107, this is absolutely a template, a model, or a transcript of how our testimony should sound and what it should look like. We too could start going through a list of all the things that God has done in our life. All the times that he delivered us out of something. Maybe he's delivered you out of depression. Maybe he's delivered you out of addiction. Maybe he delivered you out of financial burden. Maybe he delivered you, of course, out of your sin. You know, delivered you out of, you know, fear and anxiety. Maybe he delivered you out of poverty and lack and started taking care of you. Amen. This is a transcript of how we should rejoice over the things that God has done in our lives. He's giving us an outline. He's giving us this model that we could go in and just plug in the things in our lives that he's done for us. We should all have a very clear awareness of what God has done in our lives. Yes. We should be able to go back and start looking where his hand was upon us, and never to take those things for granted. Amen. Look at Psalm 107 in verse 2. We're going to camp out in this verse. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know what I've been delivered from. You know, there was a time in my life I was addicted to alcohol. I'm delivered from that. I haven't had a drink in however many years, 22, 23 years now, since January 18th, 2003. There was a time in my life I was just filled with depression and anxiety. I'm not anymore. Glory to God, right? There was a time in my life I had nothing, had no provision in my life. God takes good care of me now. Amen. We could just go back. There was a time in my life I was dramatically and miraculously healed when I was 16 years old when doctors could not figure it out. Glory to God. I was healed in the name of Jesus. Even as a 16-year-old boy, when the doctor looked at me and said, you know, we have no clue what's wrong with you. They packed me in ice because the fever was so high, they were concerned I would have brain damage. And that's why I always say, if you wonder if I'm a little weird or something, you'll now know why. Well, praise the Lord. You know, God has done great things. My firstborn child, by the time he was 1 year old, was diagnosed with heavy-duty asthma. Timothy, you know, we were told when he was just a baby that he would never run and play like normal, like a normal kid. And just the other day, he dunked over me in a basketball game, dunked on me, yep, and outran me. And finally, he can say, I actually passed the torch. He can beat me readily just about every single time now, but I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. However, I will get, I'll get a victory before he turns 18. I guarantee you. We were close. He was up 8-1 the other day, and he thought, we were playing to 11 by ones and twos, and he thought he had me. And then all of a sudden, I said, that's it. I started just doing step back threes. I started boom, boom, boom. I drained 3 3-pointers in a row. And he was like, oh my goodness, here he comes. And then he had to pour it on, and he beat me by 2 or whatever it was. But I'll get him. But here was a kid who was told he would never be able to run or play. They took an x-ray of his lungs. It looked like a thunderstorm in his lungs, you know. And within 2 weeks, he was completely healed. And literally the doctor told us, like, this is not the same little boy that was here. You know, can't you just go through just like this passage and just start plugging in all the things that God has done for you? And I'm here to tell you, if he's worked in your life before, he's going to do it again. And I'll tell you what, we have a part to play in that. Hallelujah. You know, God is moving. He has led us. He has fed us. He has guided us. Amen. We've called out to him. He's delivered us from captivity. He's delivered us from danger when we didn't even realize it had happened. You know, have you ever, had a situation where something happened that was very dangerous and you recovered from it and you knew the only explanation was God? Anyone that's ever had a scenario like that, praise the Lord. And so we don't want to ever forget that. Now look at verse 2, and I'm going to give you a couple of main points here tonight. We're going to focus on verse 2, and we're going to learn a little something about redemption and how redemption works, all right? Now we know the King James Version, you know, and many other translations of the Bible, they word it just like this. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. If you're born again, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You are redeemed, and the enemy is the devil. And of course, you're delivered from him. Praise the Lord. But notice it says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we see this truth about redemption. Our redemption needs to be spoken. You know, redemption is supposed to have a voice. Redemption is supposed to be spoken. It is supposed to be declared. Redemption is not a silent truth. Redemption is not an idle truth. Redemption is not just something that we store in our mental memory. Redemption is a spoken truth. It is a spoken truth. And as I was just meditating on this verse, I feel like this term just came up in my spirit, and it said, victory is for the vocal. Victory is for the vocal. Well, that's exactly what the Lord is saying here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say they're redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord declare all that God has done for them. Let the redeemed of the Lord go back and pinpoint all the things that the Lord has done for them in their life. Start declaring it. Amen. Are you redeemed here tonight? Amen. Victory is for the vocal. Redemption runs on our words, just like a vehicle runs on fuel. I'll tell you what, if you're, again, feeling like you're stuck or you're slow spiritually, I'll tell you what, start rejoicing in your redemption. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Not let the redeemed of the Lord just sit there like a bump on the log. You know, it doesn't say let the redeemed of the Lord just sit and just ponder it. It says let the redeemed of the Lord say something. Our redemption is a spoken truth. We have to say something, and we're going to see specifically what that is. Amen. Redemption is powered by what you talk about. If you want redemption to be active in your life, say, well, Pastor, I'm already redeemed. You know, I've already made Jesus my Lord and Savior, therefore I'm redeemed. You know, redemption is kind of a settled, you know, issue in my life. Well, obviously it's not to the Lord, because the Lord is saying, I want you to talk about it. I want you to tell people what I've done in your life. I want you to build a resume of his actions in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord continue to say it. You know, I got redeemed, so to speak, when I was 23 years old. Well, I'm not 23 anymore, if you can't tell, right? But I'll tell you what, how many of you know, even though that was all those years ago, I'm supposed to still be talking about my redemption, talking what, you know, all about what God has done. Redemption is not a one-and-done scenario. It's not you just get saved and you put redemption away. Redemption is something that is supposed to have vitality and action in your life every day. Hallelujah. Redemption will deliver you from addiction. It'll deliver you from depression. Hey, is everybody here tonight? Hey, we've got wonderful truth in the Word of God. You do not have to live a life of sadness. You don't have to live a life of depression. You don't have to live a life of defeat and worry. I'll tell you what, you have a heavenly Father who loves to take care of you, and he just wants you to say so about what he's done for you, because if you declare what he's done for you, he's going to do more on your behalf. Amen. The key to your future with God is knowing what he did for you in the past. Amen. Absolutely. It is a spoken truth. Redemption is powered by what you talk about. Redemption is not powered by your past. Boy, that really went over well. Redemption is not powered by your past. Sitting around and talking about every bad thing that ever happened to you is not going to power the vitality of God in your life. Are you here? You know, sometimes people get mired in that, and they have guilt and shame. Redemption is not powered by guilt and shame in your past. It is not powered by bad things that happened to you in the past. It is not powered by anything back there. Amen. It is not powered by fear. You know, redemption does not work because we worry about everything. Amen. Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. Redemption is powered when we start talking about how big God is. When we start talking about his healing power. When we start talking about his delivering power. When we start talking about what a provider he is, what a savior he is. I'll tell you what, you can just feel the tide of faith start rising in your life when you start talking about who God is. Isn't that exactly what Sarah did, Abraham's wife? Remember it says over there in Hebrews chapter 11, remember she was 90 years old and she was promised to have a baby? Dear Lord, glory to God, you know. And Abraham was 100. Right? And remember, they were promised a child. It had never come to pass for 25 years since God promised it. But that scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, but Sarah judged God faithful who promised. She just kept saying, God's faithful. God's faithful. She kept saying, it's going to come to pass. God's going to show up. God's going to perform his promises. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the same thing will happen in our lives. You know, if we won't let go of what God's promised us, if we'll start talking about who he is, how big he is, are you here tonight? Oh, praise the Lord. I'll tell you, redemption is not powered because you're afraid. You know, redemption is not powered by complaining. Redemption is not powered by just wishing things in life were just better, right? Redemption is powered when we give it a voice of faith. We give it a voice of believing how big God is. When we give it that vitality, God's going to show up. Amen. I'm believing it. I'm happy. Even if you're not, praise the Lord. But this question came to me, you know, as I was, you know, jotting some things down. If this is true, why are so many Christians drifting these days? There's a lot of Christians just kind of drifting with God. And no doubt all of us have been at a point, you know, where we're just, you know, maybe find ourselves at times just slow with God or indifferent or maybe not doing things the way we should or whatever. You know, maybe we're not praying, you know, we're not, you know, reading our Bible, we're really not seeking God like we should. And then all of a sudden, you know, we get indifferent about God and we start to drift. Has anyone ever experienced any drifting in your Christian life? All right, praise God. We have got some honest people here today. Every single one of us know exactly, you know, what I'm talking about. But that's going on at a very high percentage in these days, especially after the pandemic and all the fallout from that. I don't know what the connection is, but things have definitely changed in the body of Christ. You know, when we ask ourselves, why are Christians drifting so much? You know, and I was asking the Lord that, and I believe I got an answer. You know, and as I just sought God about that question, you know, this came back to me, and you can just judge it. You know, like, Lord, why are people drifting? He said, Christians are drifting because they're allowing their words to drift. They're allowing their words to get away from them. They're not speaking with a voice of redemption like they should. They're not talking up and boasting upon the Lord like they should. We talk about how big our problems are. We talk about how bad a sickness is or a disease is. We talk about how tough our financial situations are, but we fail to brag about the power and the strength of God. And then we wonder where he's at, right? Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes. You know, I really believe that people start to drift with their words. But isn't that exactly what started to happen here in Psalm 107? Think about this. Drop down to verse 4. Can you drop down to verse 4? Everyone take a look down at verse 4. Look what it says. It says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Was it God's plan for them to wander in the desert for 40 years? That wasn't God's plan. They were supposed to get to the other side of that desert long before that time. But they kept missing their direction. Oh, do I want to take you to that verse? Do I want to take you to it? I wasn't planning on it. I had no thought of that verse. Hold your place. Are you ready for a little tangent here tonight? Hold your place in Psalm 107. Remember, these Israelites were wandering in the desert. How many of you know wandering means you're lost? Wandering means you have not gotten to the destination you're supposed to get to. There's a reason why they didn't get to their destination. Oh my goodness, boy, I feel like my message is going to get hijacked, which is good. Go back to the book of Numbers. Go back to Numbers. I'm going to spare a big, huge detour here. I'm going to go right for the gusto. Go over to the book of Numbers, and you can start in chapter 14. You can head over there. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? Let's do this. Go to chapter 14, verse 1. I'll give you a slightly shortened version of this. So remember, God had told the Israelites that they were going to go into Jericho here. Remember this. And then, of course, into these other cities and so on. And they were going to go look at the land that God had promised them. And when they got there, they saw these big cities like Jericho. They saw these big armies and fortresses. And they were giant people compared to themselves. And they saw all the tough stuff that was in the land, even though God had already promised it to them. How many of you remember this? God said, I've given you a land that flows with milk and honey. He said, you're going to prosper there. It's going to be great. Go and take a look at it. And they went and took a look at it. But there was all these tough people there. Remember this? And so this is their response after God had already promised them the land. At that point, it didn't matter who was there. It didn't matter, you know, if it was King Kong and Godzilla. It didn't matter, right? It was already promised to them. But it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Look at the rest of it. And all the children of Israel murmured and complained against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, does God prefer that we would die in the land of Egypt? Or does God want us to die in this wilderness? Isn't that something? Here they were being given the best land on earth. And as soon as they see an obstacle, they start saying, we're going to die. We could have just died in Egypt. We could die out here in this wilderness. How many of you know that's not the voice of redemption right there? That's the voice of complaining. You know, this is what happened. They started to lift their voices and talk about they're going to be destroyed. Nothing's going to work out. All this. Now, go over. Boy, we're really putting my scriptural test to the, my knowledge to the test here. Go over to around the 29th verse. Actually, go to the 28th verse. Go to Numbers 14:28. Look what God said to Israel. Is everybody getting a hold of this here? This is the voice of God. He finally speaks to Israel after all their complaining, griping, right? Talking about how they're going to die, not going to make it. Everything's bad. God says, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord." Everyone look at these next few words. "As you have spoken." As you have spoken, God tells them. "As you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you." Whoa. Whose idea was it for them to die in the wilderness? Was it God's idea? No. It was whose idea? Their own. Notice they did not give redemption a voice. They did not respond in faith. And guess what happened to all of them in the wilderness who were, what, 20 years of age and older? How many of you remember what happened to them? They dropped dead. They were destroyed when they had the possibility to move into a prosperous land. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God has better things for us than we typically talk. How many of you believe that? I can say for me, can I just put myself under the microscope? I know God has better things for me than I typically talk. And you say, well, Pastor, well, don't you do a pretty good job at this? I'd like to believe so, but I certainly don't bat 1,000 with it. And none of you do either. Don't look at me like that. You know, have you ever realized that? Have you ever caught yourself saying something very similar to, you know, kind of what these Israelites were saying? Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? Oh, we're not going to make it. We're not going to be able to pay for that. We're not going to afford that. Have you ever been there before? See, and all of a sudden we start speaking about how big the problem is, how big the obstacle is, and God is sitting here the whole time saying, am I not your Lord? Am I not your God? Am I not the one that raised my son from the dead? Why are you afraid? Right? Are you here today? Yes. See, redemption needs a voice, and it's dangerous when we don't give redemption a voice. It's dangerous to complain. Now, of course, we're very grateful that we live in the age of grace. However, how many of you know redemption should always be grateful? Redemption should always be rejoicing. Redemption should have an element of faith to it. Amen. So now we wonder why they wandered. Go back over there to Psalm 107. I told you to hold your place there. Go to Psalm 107, verse 4 again. It says this. It says, they wandered in the wilderness. Whose idea was it to wander in the wilderness? It was their idea. They spoke that way. And that's what happened to them. Wow. What is that verse? There's another verse coming in my spirit. I'm going to have, you know, our scholars here help me out. Try Isaiah 57 in verse 19. Boy, that might be wrong. Try Isaiah 57:19. Yes, this is it. Whew. I thought I was off on that one. I really did. This is the words of God to a different group of Israelites. He says this, I create the fruit of the lips. He's talking about the words that we speak. God says, I create your words. Wow. That's heavy duty, isn't it? He says, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Meaning, if he speaks it, if you'll say it, you know, if you'll give a little voice to our redemption. You know, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ, they get mad at this kind of truth. They get downright disgusted. They say, oh, you can't say things. God doesn't, you know, hold us to what we say. Yes, he does. Yes, he does hold us to what we say. He treats us better than we deserve. But folks, you know what I'm saying here? God has more for us than we typically speak about. God has more for us than, he has better for us than the way we talk. You know, what is it? Can you bring up Proverbs 18:21? Well, we're going a different direction. These were not verses I was planning on going to at all. Praise the Lord. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Whose tongue is that? Ours, the words we speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. What fruit will we eat? The result, the fruit of our words. Yeah. Where's that other? There's probably, you know, another verse just like this. Proverbs 13:2, is that right? Try Proverbs 13:2. We'll see. A man shall eat good. Everyone say good. Does God want you to eat good? Yes, he does. It's not just talking about having enough food. It's talking about life in general. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Wow. But the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. A man shall eat good. Go to the next verse. I was going to say, I think the next verse has something about this too. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life. But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. How do people say that, you know, our words don't matter? They do matter. What we say is very, very important. And God wants you to eat good. God wants you to have good in this life. God wants you to be blessed. And if you find yourself drifting, all of a sudden we get very casual and lackluster with our words. And all of a sudden we start to say things that we shouldn't. We start to think, oh, this is just, I can't stand my life. I hate my job. I hate all this. And listen, I understand those feelings. We've all been there, all right? But I'm here to tell you, don't give death a voice. Don't give destruction a voice. Give redemption a voice. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now you're back in Psalm 107, verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness. Why did they wander in the wilderness? Because of their words. You know, it's the biggest example of how our words either take us to our destination or keep us from our destination. Right? Do we see this? They couldn't find their destination in front of them because they forgot to talk about the victories behind them. Remember the Israelites? Remember how God destroyed the armies of Egypt to save them? Remember how he miraculously fed them with bread from heaven? Remember how he brought water out of the rock miraculously for them? And yet all they could talk about was all the negative, right? And so they wandered in the wilderness. Yeah, absolutely. They couldn't find their destination out in front of them because they forgot to talk about the victories behind them. Amen. The voice of redemption makes your destination more clear. Everyone listen to this next statement. This is very important. I made sure to highlight this in my notes because I definitely knew I'm supposed to say this. Having focus on what he's done for you gives you focus for where he's taking you. Let me say that again. Having focus on what God's done for you already gives you focus for where he wants to take you. God wants to take you somewhere. But he's looking for you to look back at all that he's done and say, my goodness, look what God's done. You know, he's leading me. He's guiding me. He's going to take me through whatever trial you're in the midst of right now or whatever it is. Amen. He's going to get me there. I'm going over this thing. I'm going around it. I'm going where God wants me to go because he has always been there. He has always been faithful. Amen. The Lord should have a resume of victories in your life. You know what a resume is? A resume is a list of qualifications that tells you you should, you know, get into the next experience, so to speak. You know, maybe obviously we use a resume to get a new job or whatever. But a resume is simply all the accomplishments that somebody has to make yourself more appealing to a job or whatever it is, right? How many of you know God should have a resume in our lives? What I mean, like, that we have taken note of all the reasons why he's going to take us over this next mountain, why he's going to get us around the next thing. If you're looking at what God has done for you. Now, we don't look in the past for our godless life, but we look what God has done for us, and we say, look how faithful he's been. See, I've noticed this, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent again here. I've seen Christians, you know, they will, you know, look at all they don't have. You know, I see there's like two types of believers is what I'm trying to say. There's people that all they can see is all the negative, what they don't have in this life. And then I see that there's Christians, they look back and they just always, you know, rejoice about what God has done for them. And they just know that he's going to carry them over again. Folks, I'm here to tell you, don't get your vision locked on all that you haven't seen God do yet. Look back and say, he's done this, he's done this, he's done this, he's still working in my life. Glory to God, he's going to take you to where he has for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has given you these list of experiences to convince you of a greater experience. Amen. Now, who needs to be convinced that you're going to go to the next level that God has for you? Does God need to be convinced? Does the devil need to be convinced? Who needs to be convinced? We do. We need to be convinced that God's going to show up in a big measure in our life. I tell you what, I'm convinced. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're gonna move it right along here. We've already taken some side journeys. Who wants some homework here tonight? All right, two of you. Great. Praise the Lord. Here we go. I want to actually, you know what? We are going to go and take a look at some of these. If we don't get to some of the stuff at the bottom, that's just fine. I want to give you some scriptures for redemption. I want to give you, actually, we're going to turn to some of these. Hold your place there in Psalm 107. I'm kind of bouncing around tonight, and I get it. I know some of you might be having a little hard time following me. I'm kind of going all over the place. But that's all right. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I'm going to give you some scriptures for redemption. Hallelujah. God is not done in your life. I'll tell you what, you can, you know, look back. It could be yesterday for what God's done for you. It could be 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. In God's eyes, it was just yesterday what he's done for you. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I was 16 years old when I got miraculously healed. I still tell that testimony like it was yesterday. Praise the Lord. Even if you're older than me and you were younger when you got healed, give God the glory. Yes. Amen. Remember how he was telling Israel, even in the days of like Isaiah and then in Daniel's day, God was still talking about how he delivered Israel out of Egypt. That was hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And God was still talking about it like it was yesterday. Amen. The Lord wants you to remind him of what he has done in your life. And he wants you to boast about it. He wants you to rejoice about it as evidence that you believe that you're going to the next place in God. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. I need to turn over there. I'm going to read it right out of the pages here. It says, therefore, if any man, women included, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yes. Glory to God. That isn't just what happened when you got saved. That is what's happening every single day as a believer. Old things have passed away. That means they died, meaning your old life, the past, it's gone. All things have become new. That's why God says just keep going forward. You're a new creation. Hallelujah. Do we have any new creations here tonight? Look, let's read the rest of it. It says, and all things are of God, who's reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling or bringing the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then everyone say me. This is every one of us. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Look at verse 21. For he, God, has made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Folks, how righteous are you right now? How righteous are you? Oh, boy. Do you hear how nervous everybody gets when you ask that question? How righteous are you? Are you 70% righteous? Are you just, maybe you haven't been a very good, you know, good Christian lately. Maybe you've dropped down to 40% righteous. Or maybe you've had a really bad year, you know, and you've dropped down to 5% righteous. Or maybe you've had a really good year and you're 95% righteous. So you're smiling. That's all ridiculous. Because in Christ, you were made the righteousness of God. Righteousness is not a result of your actions. Righteousness is a result of His actions. You cannot make yourself righteous. He made you righteous. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He became sin for you so that you could become His righteousness. The word righteousness there, it means to have right standing in the presence of God. From that moment on, God said you can come into His presence. You belong there. You have been made 100% righteous even when you miss it, even when you mess up. Not that you should do so purposely. But even when you do make a sincere mistake, your righteousness is not lost. This is a free gift through Jesus Christ. That's redemption. You are redeemed from everything in your past. You're redeemed for all your trespasses. You're redeemed from all that you did wrong, all your failures. Glory to God, because Jesus was made sin so you could be made righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why this is a redemption verse. So this is why having guilt and shame, you know, is such an insult to Jesus. Meaning because he became sin so that we would, you know, be free of the guilt and shame of sin. He's made us righteous. Now, of course, we don't take that and say, well, then I'm just going to go do whatever I want then. If you do that, you're going to do what the Bible says called frustrating the grace of God. You know, you don't take the blood of Jesus and then tread it over it. If you've been given such a free gift, don't you want to, you know, show God your gratitude? Yes. He gave me His righteousness freely, so I want to live that way. Yeah. If I've been made that way, I should live that way. Our society needs to hear that these days. Just however God made you, live that way, right? You shouldn't have to try. You should just desire to be the way God made you. God made you freely to go into His presence and belong there without any feeling of being shamed or guilted. Aren't you glad? This is redemption. This is why when shame and guilt tries to get on me, you know, when discouragement tries to get on me, when the devil tries to tell me, I haven't done enough, you're not a good enough pastor, you don't do this enough, you're not that. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh yeah, the devil will beat you up every day. And the good news is, you can't do enough. Jesus already was enough. He's more than enough. Glory to God. And His righteousness was given to me freely by faith. And that's why I don't live a life of self-condemnation. Why? Redemption. And you can simply, when you're getting beat up with feelings of guilt and fault and shame and feeling low and condemning yourself, you can say, I've been made the righteousness of Christ. I've been made His righteousness. I belong in His presence, even if I messed up. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Hallelujah. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm all over the place. The teacher in me is cringing. But we're just preaching the word. Redemption has a voice. You're not guilty anymore. You're redeemed from your... God remembers your sins no more. Your past is gone. You're now an ambassador. You are an ambassador for Christ. You're not just someone who's sitting around self-condemning. See, that verse is the answer to everything. If you're sitting around loathing yourself, how will you ever have the courage to lead somebody else to Christ? You see what I'm saying? If you're just consumed and, oh, I'm not good enough, I messed up again, and I'm just terrible, and I'm rotten, and I there's no hope for me. People that live that way will never be bold enough to go tell somebody else how to get saved. Are you here? At some time, see, that's the devil's trap. Always getting us to think about ourselves. Think about what we've done, what we've done. Start thinking about what he's done. Start glorifying. This is what redemption is telling, you know, yourself, you know, the world, just speaking it out of your mouth, what God has done. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Go to Philippians 3 and look at verse 13. Here's another verse of redemption for you. You are redeemed. This is Paul the Apostle. How many of you remember before Paul was Paul the Apostle, he was Saul of Tarsus. He got a name change, right? He got a new identity, right? He got born again. But before Paul the Apostle, before, you know, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he did some pretty bad stuff, didn't he? Yeah. Paul the Apostle, when he was Saul of Tarsus, he literally consented to the murder of Christians. He helped murder Christians. How many of you remember this in the scripture? Do you know that now the New Testament has what? 27 books, 14 of which are written by Paul the Apostle. I know Hebrews is kind of a debate, but most people believe that it was Paul. I personally do. And so at least half of the New Testament was written by a man who, before he knew Christ, used to kill Christians. Right? I might show you a verse. But this is what Paul, a man who could be very guilty in his conscience. His past was awful. It was dirty. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In our modern language, we would say it this way: I haven't arrived. Nobody lift your hand to this question that I'm about to ask. Has anybody arrived? Is there anyone that you've arrived at? You are just the fullness of stature of Christ. Like, you just are perfect all the time? No, none of us, right? He says, I have not counted. If Paul the Apostle, who went on to become arguably the greatest Christian to ever walk the earth, I mean, God used him to write more than half of the New Testament. If he says he hasn't arrived, I'm pretty sure I have not arrived, right? And he says, but this one thing I do. And now, wow, Paul starts to say, I can testify this one thing I do right. Isn't that good of him? Isn't it good of God to allow Paul to write in his eternal word the one thing he got right? Because God will take it. He will. God, absolutely. This is one thing Paul gets credit for, of course, with many, but in his mind. He's saying, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind or in the past, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. He said, this one thing, I haven't done everything right, but this one thing I do right. I forget everything that's behind, and I reach forward to the things that are ahead. Look at verse 14, because the verse is not over. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? There's nothing for you behind you. There's nothing back there that God, you know, outside of what he's done for you, there's nothing back there in our lives without him that can ever give us any answers. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God just says, even if you stumble and you fall, get up and move forward. Even if you made a big mistake, the book of Proverbs says, a good man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. It's not how many times you fall. It's how many times you get back up and you realize that in your redemption that his blood covers you and that you've been made the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Go with me. Flip over to, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. I'm really just having fun in the Word tonight. All these verses I just wanted to use, and many of which are not in my notes. I'm just being led. Not going to lie, I'm just being led by the Spirit of God. I have a ton of notes here. We've gotten some off of that, but not much. Go to Colossians 1:12. Here's a couple of verses that changed my life. Colossians 1:12, especially verse 13. Verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit. When it says meet, it means you've been made fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You've been made fit. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Man, God is so good. And he says, you're going to inherit, you know, you have an inheritance as the saints in light. You are called a saint in light. And now, verse 13 is a verse that got me free from my alcohol addiction. This one verse broke an addiction in my life to the point where I never went back to it, because I was living with a ton of guilt and shame. You know, I was partying and, you know, and drinking, and it had become a full-blown, you know, everyday habit in my life. And I knew I wanted to follow the Lord. I wanted to follow God. And I'd wake up hungover, guilty, mad at myself, shaming myself, you know, and I would pray and I would say, Lord, take this away from me. Lord, just change me. Lord, just make it disappear. I don't want to do this anymore. And then it was this verse right here that got me free. And it said this, God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And you might be wondering, how did that help you? How did that get you free of an addiction? Well, notice it says, God who has delivered. Has delivered. Is that past tense? Yes, it is past tense. He has. Has God already delivered you?
Yes.
Let me ask you that question again. Has God already delivered you?
Yes.
That is the light that came alive in my heart when it came to my addiction. And all of a sudden, I realized I am delivered from it. And you know what I started saying every day? I started saying, I'm delivered from alcohol.
Yes.
I'm delivered from alcohol. I even stumbled back into it. And I would say, oh, I just feel that guilt start getting on me. And I'd say, no, I'm delivered from this. I'm delivered from this. I'm delivered from this. You know what? It wasn't very long before I was completely 100% delivered. Never went back, never touched it again. Praise the Lord. If that'll work for an addiction, don't you think it would work for depression?
Yes.
Don't you think it would work for healing in your body?
Yes.
He's delivered me. You know, if it was anxiety, fear, worry, come on now. This is a verse of redemption. I still say this all the time. He has delivered me from the power of darkness. What does that mean? Satan has no control over you. He has no power over you. Guess what? You've got to say it. Redemption needs a voice. Is everybody here? Oh, go. We need another redemption verse. Go to Galatians 3. But we're all over here in the epistles. Hallelujah. We're about done. Say, Pastor, I'll believe it when I see it. No, ye of little faith. Believe it. Say it. Pastor, I'm delivered from the length of your sermons. Glory to God. Listen, I'm trying to get delivered of that. Look at Galatians 3:13. I'm just enjoying some redemption verses here tonight. This is what we say. Christ has redeemed us from the what? The curse of the law. Have you ever gone back to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and started reading about the curses? Have you ever read what those curses are? Let me tell you what. They're the curses of sin. They're the curses of sickness and disease, poverty and lack, depression, anxiety, and fear. It's all those things. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made, Jesus was made a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, a reference to the cross. Why did Jesus come to this earth? To take the curse that was on us. He took the curse upon him. Look at the verse. See that colon? Or is that a semicolon? That's a full-blown colon. That's not a semicolon. That's the full colon. Look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Has the blessing come on anybody in here?
Yes.
Yes. Jesus took the curse. He became the curse on the cross so that we would be made the blessing of Abraham through Jesus. That we would receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Glory to God. So that's why we say around here, we are 0% cursed, 100% blessed. Oh my goodness. Folks, it's not what we have in this life. It's not your money, your house, your car, whatever. It's not what you have. It's who you have.
Yes.
Glory to God. You have Christ. You have the Spirit of God. You are blessed. You're not cursed. This is what redemption says. And see, and I just kept saying, I'm delivered from that addiction. I'm delivered. It's already happened. See, a lot of Christians, we fail because we talk to God as if something is not already done. Remember, the scripture says that all these works were done before the foundations of the earth. We have to believe God that it is already done. Already done. Already done. This is what Jesus taught us over there in Mark 11, 23 and 24. Believe that you have received it. Then you will have it. You know, that seems backwards, doesn't it? But God wants you to you know, speak and to talk as if you already have it. Glory to God. And no, you don't have to be cheesy about it. No, you don't have to go and get in everybody's face to, you know, show how spiritual and how mighty your faith is. You know what I mean? Even if it's just, you know, you saying it to yourself. Speak it. Redemption needs a voice. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we'll finish right here. Go all the way back to the book of Revelation chapter 12. I am going to pick up a little bit of the regularly scheduled programming here. Go to Revelation 12:11. Folks, are you seeing this? Your destination is going to depend. Where God wants to take you is heavily dependent on what we say about what he's already done for us. Did that sink in? What God has done for you back here should give you focus for where he's going to take you. Hallelujah. God's been so faithful. Why would I ever doubt him? Why would I ever doubt him? He's healed me dramatically. He healed my son dramatically. He gave me a marriage that's heaven on earth for 22 years. I could just go on. I could just tell you my story. Now remember, the name of this sermon here tonight is Let the Redeemed of the Lord Tell Their Stories. That is Psalm 107, verse 2. That's the NIV. Did anyone bring the NIV tonight? Anyone have the NIV with you? The new, we got a couple. That's what it says. You know, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. That means let the redeemed of the Lord tell what God has done in their life. Look at Revelation 12:11. We're going to end right on this verse. How many of you know Revelation chapter 12 is talking about a future time in the tribulation and during the great tribulation, which if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I believe we're going up in the rapture before this all comes to pass. Yeah. But there will be tribulation saints. There will be those that become believers in the midst of that tribulation. And now this verse is talking about people who will believe in Christ while the earth is literally collapsing under their feet. And of course, it's a very wicked time and an evil, evil time. And it says this about these tribulation saints. It says, and they overcame him. It's talking about Satan. That in chapter 12, Satan goes with great vengeance and tries to, the Antichrist is on the scene and he's going to kill and murder people that believe and all this stuff. And of course, he's empowered by Satan. And literally, verse 11 is talking about Satan himself. It says, and they, believers, overcame him, Satan, by what? The blood of the Lamb. Is there anybody in here that you've received the blood of the Lamb? See, it's the same blood. And it says, and they overcame Satan by the what? Word of their testimony. The word testimony, you know what testimony means? Your story. Your story. They overcame Satan with the blood of the Lamb first and the spoken word of their testimony. They got, they were in the most difficult time that'll ever be on this earth. And yet, Satan could not destroy them. Why? Because they kept talking about all that God did for them. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So speaking what God has done for us, that's what testimony means. It means to testify of his actions on our behalf. Talking about what God has already done for you must in some way hinder or inhibit Satan's activity against you. They overcame him. The word overcomes, it means to be lifted up above. They got over. You know, Satan himself could not kill them because they started talking about all that God had done to protect them in that time. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. folks. The words of redemption, the voice of redemption. Redemption cannot just be a mental memory thing. We don't just say, well, I got redeemed when I got saved, and that's all I need to know. No, redemption has a voice every single day. You know, redemption talks about the greatness of God all the time. Redemption takes verses like the ones that we went through here tonight and declares the truth of them. Amen? I'm redeemed. I'm a new creation. Amen. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's not what the scripture, or that's not what I say of myself. That's what the scripture says of me and you. Glory to God. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from it. I'm 0% cursed. I'm 100% blessed. God is with me. He lives and dwells in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. You know, it says many wicked spirits have already gone out into the earth. It says, but you have already overcome them, that verse says. Glory to God. You know, I'm delivered from the power of darkness. That's everything evil. I'm delivered from it. You know, and I don't mean to quote Obi-Wan Kenobi here tonight, but strike me down and I'll become even more powerful. I know, the Star Wars reference. It's true. Even death can't stop you. You know, there's a very precious minister friend of ours that passed away this week. And of course we're going to miss her on this earth. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, the conversation starts to be about why did this happen. You know, none of us fully know. But all I know this, she left a ton of fruit on this earth. I mean, she traveled the world, brought so many people to Christ. She did more for God than, you know, 10 lifetimes, you know. And we just, you know, she overcame. Even if her body, you know, passed away on this earth, guess what? She just got promoted. You know, no matter what, we win. Are you here tonight? Redemption is always rejoicing. Redemption is always grateful. Redemption is always thinking about what God has done for you. Find one thing and start telling God, this is what you've done for me. You have fed me every day of my life. You have guided me. You've kept me safe in a time of trouble. You restored our marriage. You healed my body. Whatever it is, start telling God. Stop looking at all the negative in this world, because you can find some very easily. Did you get some help here tonight? The voice of redemption. Let us pray. Father God, we love you and we praise you. Father, we are new creations. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are redeemed from the curse that the blessing of Abraham would be upon us. We are delivered from the power of darkness. You have made us fit to be partakers of the saints in light. Lord, we do not look at our past, but we press forward to the things that are ahead. Father, we thank you. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We say so. We tell our story. And no matter what's in front of us, Lord, we know that there's challenges going on. We know that there's hardships going on. But we don't have to be stuck on those forever. Lord, we thank you. You've moved on our behalf in the past. You keep moving on our behalf right now. Lord, you are working right now, creating more testimonies that we'll just get to share. Any trial in our life is just an opportunity to show how faithful and how good you are. You're going to meet every need. You're going to provide, Father God, whether financially, emotionally, physically. It doesn't matter what goes on in this world. We always have you. And even if natural death would try to occur, we win. Lord, thank you so much. We praise you. We worship you. Father, you are so greater, so much bigger. We count it all joy. Count it all joy. With every head bowed and every eye closed before we dismiss, let me ask you the most important question anyone will ever ask you in your life. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I'm going to tell you the truth. There is a heaven and there is a hell. But the good news is Jesus came to this earth. He went to that cross. He took the curse of our sin. He carried it. He took it upon himself. He shed his blood. He died and he rose again. And now the Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, If you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to worry about hell. A couple weeks ago, I told you the testimony of how when I was a young man, I was running from God. And I had a dream, and that dream was from God. And in that dream, I was standing in front of the Book of Life. And in that dream, an angel said to me, your name is not in here. And I felt that doom of what someone must feel like when they realize they would be cast away from God. I got good news. You don't ever have to go through that at all. Believe upon Christ. Take him as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here tonight, you've never done that, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to send anybody to you. This is between you and God. And I'm here to tell you, he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And if you're here and you've never made Jesus your Lord, I'm not going to make you do anything except one small thing I'm going to ask of you. If you could just take 1 second and lift your hand, and when I see your hand, I'll simply say, I see that hand, you can put it down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer right there in your seat. You can talk to the Lord and take him into your heart. But if that's you, could you just take that one small step towards God and lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I see that hand, you can put it down. Is there anyone else? I see that hand, you can put it down. God loves you. Is there anybody else that you would just say, Pastor, that's me. I want Jesus. God loves you. I know we have a lot of people that have made that decision already in their lives. And you're so faithful and God loves you. We all are a work in progress. Anyone else who just felt in your heart that you need to respond? Just want to make sure. We had a couple of hands, and so I'm just going to lead us all in this prayer. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Pray them to the Lord. You're not talking to me or the person next to you. Everybody's going to be praying the prayer, so it's not going to be just you. Just mean it with your heart. Talk to God. He will hear you. Everybody pray these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? You know, it's the most wonderful thing seeing people, you know, confess Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is nothing better in all of ministry, all this world. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Hey, don't forget, there are refreshments over there in the fellowship hall. Hey, just a heads up, if for some reason when you're over there, you don't see me over there, I'm taking an appointment right after service right here at the church. So just so you know, if you don't see me over there, that's why. Let's go ahead and rejoice and be glad and give God all the glory. Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you that your hand is upon each one here tonight. Father, we thank you that you're strengthening those that have made Jesus their Lord and Savior. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.